Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric.
Greetings, fellow Portlanders. From the Emerson News Network, this is Legion of News!
High atop the milkpacking district in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A naked woman is rescued from the Sandy River. Gabrielle Giffords is cleared to attend the launch of her astronaut husband. And a Buckingham Palace guard has been relieved of his duty after calling Kate Middleton a posh bitch.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when ye began this hour. And now, without further ado, hide yourselves away, for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, April 26, 2011. Deputies rescued a naked woman from the Sandy River Monday night as the investigation into how she got there continues.
Oh, yeah. I bet they rescued the hell out of her.
The woman was suffering from hypothermia and was disoriented, Rick Emerson.
Well, yeah. Well, they struggle the least.
But otherwise uninjured. She was transported to an area hospital for treatment and evaluation. Deputies said they found her in the river near Dodge Park after a driver called 911 around 10 p.m. The driver told investigators he had given a woman in her early 20s a ride to the park because she told him she lived nearby. He said the woman headed toward the river when he dropped her off, and he became concerned, so he called 911. Deputies arrived and spotted the woman lying naked in the Sandy River. They used a bullhorn to talk her into moving to an island in the middle of the river and then rescued her from there. Her name has not been released. If you know anything, call the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office because apparently they don't know what's going on.
I use that line all the time. I'm going to need you to move to an island in the middle of the river and wait.
So the fellow gave this woman a ride to a park at 10 o'clock at night. A woman that he didn't know, apparently. Oh, she told him she lived nearby.
He met her at the park.
It doesn't say.
He just picked her up somewhere?
Just picked her up somewhere, gave her a ride to a park because she says she lives near there. Leaves her at the park. But then, as she's heading down to the river, he decides to call 911.
Well,
there's something more going on here.
It seems to me that if he met her at a bar, if you just, let's say, for example, I don't know if this is the case, but if you meet her at a bar and she says, hey, I live nearby, maybe you could take me home, and he says, yeah, and then either she has been perhaps drugged beforehand or whatever, or is just crazy, and so they're on the way to her house, and she says, oh, by the way, you can also drop me off at this park. Also, I'm nuts.
I'm headed to the river now.
And he says,
Okay. All right. And then the little voice in his head says, she probably really is crazy. I mean, just in this particular scenario. And then he drops her off at the park, realizes that she's probably, gacked to the nines. Or otherwise, just something he doesn't want to be. He didn't want no part of that.
Her last words after she gets out of the truck are, I'm going swimming! And she heads for the river.
He drops her off and then thinks, oh, God, the cops are going to find her. And then I don't want it to appear as though I was the one that drugged or crazified her. I better call the man and look like a responsible citizen so it doesn't seem like it's a sort of roofying gone wrong.
It sounds like you are strangely familiar with this sort of scenario.
I'm just saying, you also want to go to a wooded area and carry some tarps with you at all times.
It looks as if Representative Gabrielle Giffords will be on hand this Friday when her husband and the rest of the Endeavor crew blast off into space. The trip will be the first for the Arizona congresswoman since she was moved to a Houston rehabilitation center following her near-fatal shooting at a constituent event at her home district back in January. Her medical clearance is being touted as the latest example of her incredible recovery since her brain was pierced by a bullet during the shooting. And her trip to Cape Canaveral, Florida, is sure to set off the latest round of media speculation about her political future. Commander Mark Kelly will have a special guest at the launch. He is the husband. I kind of skipped over something there.
There's a whole thing where he's launching and then she's watching. And yeah. Then, hey.
Commander Mark Kelly is pleased that his wife will be watching him.
It's something she's been looking forward to for a long time. She's been working really hard to make sure that her doctors would permit her to come, and she's more than medically ready to be here, and she's excited about making this trip.
They should totally do the thing of having her in the wheelchair, and then with the greatest of effort, she just stands up out of the wheelchair and walks across the platform to embrace him.
Actually, apparently she's going to be shielded from view. She's going to be someplace where nobody can look at her, because even though she's been cleared to go to this thing, she's still not doing real great.
A little wonky.
Yeah, doctors have placed her in the top 5% of people who have suffered similar injuries, but she's still struggling to speak in full sentences. And mostly opts for single word or short declarative statements.
Well, she could be president with that.
Yeah. She also lacks full use of her right arm and leg and is relearning to walk.
Hey, Josiah Bartlett can't put on his coat correctly.
He's not a real person.
You can shut up. He is too. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, April 26th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, you get your entertainment news, also science on the march. You want to get this program via iTunes, you can do that later on the day. In fact, they probably know where you are, and they'll just send the show directly to you, directly to your iPhone, from the magical orb hovering above your house through which Steve Jobs watches you. It watches you in everything you do, every movement you make, every motion you take. You can also get it as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or legionofnews.com. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program will be gracing your ear holes, courtesy of RickEmersonShow.com. Here is Don Taylor.
A favorite of pirates everywhere.
Exactly. And we have a couple of new subscribers that we're going to welcome today, too. It's a thing that I sort of meant to make a note of. It's here somewhere. I'll find it.
Okay.
In any event.
Yeah. A Buckingham Palace guard has been relieved of his royal wedding day duties after calling Kate Middleton some choice names on Facebook, according to the UK Press Association. 18-year-old Scots Guardsman Cameron Riley wrote of Catherine and Prince William, her and William, he spelled her, by the way, H-U-R, her and William drove past me on Friday, and all I got was a wave while she looked the opposite way from me. Stupid stuck-up cow, M-A, not good enough for them. Posh bitch, I'm totally with you on this. Who really gives an F about her?
I don't understand. To whom was this message sent?
He put it on Facebook, I guess.
Oh, so it was for everyone. It was a message for all.
Wow. Apparently, reading and writing comprehension is not a prerequisite with being a Buckingham Palace guard.
Well, if you think about it, the whole point of those guys is that they're not allowed to emote or express or speak or actually give any indication that they can communicate with people, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the deal? They're the ones who are not allowed to talk.
Right, and now we know why.
So maybe they just do that by... Maybe they just beat the speech center out of your brain when you get the gig.
He also made racist and anti-Semitic comments on various personal photos, such as, quote, A was gonna put a few rifles in my Bergen, but then I remembered I couldn't fit any in.
When you meant racist, did you mean gibberish?
Well, apparently he says he types a lowercase a instead of I for I. Maybe that's a British thing. But anyway, what he said was, I will translate this to English. I was going to put a few rifles in my, and I'm assuming he means his car or his trunk. But then I remembered I couldn't fit any because I had too many Packy's scalps in it already.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
Oh, it's Bergen. Is that the hat? He was going to put rifles in his Bergen? That's the big hat?
You should know this. In case you were under the illusion that I was, in fact, a Buckingham Palace guard when I'm not here,
yeah.
That's, in fact, not the case.
All right. He also wrote on Facebook, and this is a quote, is watching a massive Jew gathering outside the window at the Tower of London. I've never seen so many rabbis in my life.
Well, maybe that's just true. Maybe there was a tour of some kind.
According to the Daily Mail, an anonymous soldier said Riley is a big boozer and not what you'd call a thinker.
Yeah, I think it kind of goes without saying. Really, I think they just have to stand and then occasionally point and shoot.
Yeah, the guy also said he doesn't engage. He joined Facebook last year and started posting bizarre things. He doesn't engage his brain before he types. These stupid comments could not have come at a worse time for him. Serving at the royal wedding is a huge honor. He's been incredibly naive.
Jesus. A huge Jew gathering.
Yeah, UK's Minister of Defense released a statement reading in part, in view of the nature of the allegation, it would not be appropriate for the individual to be on parade for the royal wedding.
We'd like you to go home and never come back. Thanks so much. Seriously. I mean, and kind of everybody is invited. Our friend...
Tony Blair isn't invited.
You know who's going to be? You know who's going to be performing at one of the sort of after parties for the London wedding is Richard Cheese.
I was going to say Storm Large.
No, I mean
he's everywhere.
I was just going to. It's really, it's only one step removed. It's like Storm without the breasts and with more penis. So I got an email from Richard Cheese the other day. He's like, dude, I'm going to be performing at the after party for the London wedding. It's awesome.
Of course, how many after parties? There's a lot of after parties. It's like the Oscars. Aren't there probably 50 parties?
This apparently is at Buckingham Palace.
Really?
So
Richard Cheese is going to be performing at Buckingham Palace.
You know, there's a... It was just sent to me as a thing. So...
We need to get him to, call and tell us, give us the what for on that.
It astonishes me the places that I see that guy, actually. I just turned on... I think I just turned on Kimmel the other night, and he was just sort of there, just, playing for some reason. He's oddly, I won't even say oddly. He's beloved in places and in ways that you might not anticipate or expect. Anyway, and this is all true. Thank you for joining us. It is Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. The Rick Emerson radio program coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. You get your entertainment news later in this hour. Also, your science on the march. Here is Don Taylor.
A registered nurse who police say wore a disguise to steal drugs from a patient's room has been indicted by a grand jury. Katharina Hansen, a former employee at Willamette Falls Hospital in Oregon City, is accused of using a key to unlock a pain pump in a hospital's patient's room so she could steal Dilaudid.
I'm going to form a band called Pain Pump.
Pain Pump. Dude.
Welcome to my pain pump.
Dilaudid, of course, is a pain-killing liquid that medical staff say is known as drugstore heroin. Oregon City police say staff at the hospital first noticed there was a dosage of Dilaudid missing from a patient's room on March 30th. Hospital workers were alerted to keep an eye out for suspicious people who might be stealing medication. The next day, about 11:10 p.m., a nurse found Hansen in the hallway and recognized her despite her being in a disguise of a blonde wig, red glasses, and a white lab coat. She used to work there, and then she came back.
And that
in
was
a
her
disguise.
I decided to come as dressed to kill.
Yeah, she said she's. Police say she's responsible for stealing $319 worth of Dilaudid the night prior to her arrest. She told officers she suffers from chronic pain and considers herself an addict. She quit her job at the hospital in January. The grand jury indicted her on one count of possession of a controlled substance and one count of theft.
All right, that was Dressed to Kill, the Brian De Palma movie, not Dressed to Kill the Eddie Izzard.
If you put on a wig and glasses, no one will know who you are.
So he. Never mind. All right, here's Don Taylor at the news desk. I'm sorry. I just was going to make more Brian De Palma jokes, but really, there's a limited. That's a niche that really gives you limited returns.
That'll blow up in. No, wait. No. Former President Jimmy Carter continues his trip to Asia this week, during which he plans to meet with officials in both North and South Korea. Carter is part of a group of former international heads of government called the Elders and says he's not acting on behalf of the U.S. government.
Okay.
What?
This is the cut. Oh, is this? I thought you were leading up to a second half.
No, that's it.
You do that thing sometimes where you have the two pages and you have is like your page for the story, and the second is you did with the Giffords thing earlier, and then you
then I pause and look over at you meaningfully.
Yeah, the irony is I was actually queuing up that soundbite. All right, let's give the lead up one more time here.
Okay. Carter is part of a group of former international heads of government called the elders and says he's not acting on behalf of the U.S. government.
The elders are not in a position to negotiate. We're not mediators. We're going to learn what we can and then share what we find with the leaders with whom we have contact in the future.
Oh, man. You know,
Didn't we hear him say that yesterday?
Well, yesterday was, I think, the first half of the story because it's like a whole week long. I don't know. He's doing like a whirlwind tour of North Korea where apparently he just sees, apparently he sees the weather as the glorious leader has intended him to. Really, if I'd been thinking this through, I would have prepared for some music from the Elder album.
The Elder album?
That's like a half of 1% joke. Don't worry about it.
Sorry.
Maybe next hour I'll just pretend that this story is brand new and then I'll play the little trumpet fanfare followed by Just a Boy.
Okay. USA Today analysis of federal data finds that Americans are depending more on government assistance in 2010 than at any other time in nation's history. The trend shows few signs of easing, although the economic recovery is nearly 2 years old. You know, we're in an economic recovery.
Of course. No. Things are back in the swing.
If you'd noticed that. A record 18.3% of the nation's total personal income was a payment from the government for Social Security, Medicare, food stamps, unemployment, and other programs in 2010.
So this is 20% of the money earned by just the country as a whole is from the man?
Yes.
Okay.
Wages accounted for the lowest share of income, 51%, since the government began keeping track in 1929.
All right, then.
The income data shows how fragile and government-dependent the recovery is after a recession that officially ended in June 2009. The wage decline has continued this year. Wages slipped to another historic low of 50.5% of personal income in February. Another government effort, the Social Security payroll tax cut, has lifted income in 2011. From 1980 to 2000, government aid was roughly constant at 12.5%. The sharp increase since then, especially since the start of 2008, reflects several changes: the expansion of health care and federal programs generally, the aging population, and lingering economic problems.
Sounds like some people need to be kicked out to sea in an ice floe. Really.
That's old folks.
I didn't want to come out and just say it. I didn't really want to put too fine a point on it. But
wait, that's me.
Just saying somebody somewhere. All right. Hey, do I look like the guy that hosts the show Cheaters?
No.
What is that guy's name?
Well, first of all, I've never really watched it, but I off the top of my head, I would just immediately say no.
This is like the second comment I've gotten this week about how, because we were talking about the Richard Dreyfuss thing the other day, and there's like two different people who claim that I look like whoever that guy is, the host of that show.
I have to admit, I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's a terrible program.
So I don't know.
I mean, it's sort of enjoyable.
I kind of pride myself on the fact I've never watched it.
As you're watching, you sort of hate yourself a little bit, or more than a little bit, for watching. By the way, I should note, so I just dug up the email that our friend Richard Shee sent. And then he actually links to a page where he gives the sort of fact of it. On Friday, 29th, April 2011, Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine will be performing at the Royal Wedding Reception for Prince William and Kate Middleton at Buckingham Palace in England. And then he specifically notes, I'm not effing kidding. And then, of course, here's the great thing about Richard Cheese. And I know that there's people, the opinions on that guy, opinions on Richard Cheese are sort of like opinions on Mr. Skin, where there are people who love him and there are people who dislike him and there are people somewhere in the middle.
I enjoy him tremendously.
Whatever anybody says about Richard Cheese, and I know that there are people who are not necessarily fans of his, I try not to associate with those people, but I know they exist. The thing, and Sarah and I have talked about this before, the thing that he's like second to none, I mean this in the best possible way, is he really is like the most relentless self-promoter I have ever met in my entire life. I mean, that guy has never met a day or a kind of day on which he cannot make some sort of hay. Doesn't matter. Sun shining, sun hidden, doesn't matter. The hay is made. So he's going to be performing, and then and I swear to God, and then he says 72 hours later it'll be available as a CD. He's already got the cover art made. He's already got the liner notes made. He said he's recruited a special Japanese manufacturing plant where apparently they need all the money they can get at this point to be churning out the CD like later that night after the performance, which he will be recording and then digitally uploading to the manufacturers instantly. Somebody says, did William and Kate personally select him? He said, we believe that one of Prince William's friends recommended the band for the reception, and the bride and groom agreed to the suggestion. They were contacted by planning staffers in early February. Arrangements were confirmed in March. He said, just to be clear, we don't have any direct contact with the royals, but we do believe that this was a suggestion made by one of William's friends. How bizarre.
Wow.
Jesus.
Wow.
Okay.
It's a crazy world.
Apparently it's paining him because he can't wear his tiger-striped tuxedo. He's got to go with the traditional, you know, the formal black and white tuxedo. So, but I suppose the trade-off in shtick is worth it for, that you're performing for the royals.
You hire Richard Cheese.
You think you know what you're getting.
Let him wear the tuxedo.
All right. Here is Don Taylor.
Well, Facebook is launching a deals program today in 5 U.S. cities.
Oh, God.
Following on the popularity of Groupon and other services that
Groupon.
Offer deep discounts.
I hate Groupon with everything in me.
For example, $50 worth of food at a local eatery for $25. By allowing small businesses to leverage the internet while helping consumers score great deals, these group couponing services have become some of the fastest growing businesses in the world. Facebook, of course, wants to get a slice of that. They hope to exploit its existing networks of friends and family when they begin testing offers in San Diego, San Francisco, Atlanta, Dallas, and Austin, Texas. Many deal sites have a social component. For instance, if you get three friends to buy a Living Social voucher, yours is free. Groupon's offers become valid only after a certain number of people purchase them, but the deals are circulated to users through email, and the community aspect is secondary. Facebook, however, is hoping to change that. Facebook users in the 5 test markets will see a deal's insignia at the bottom of their Facebook page when they log in today. Clicking on it brings up a list of currently available offers. A user can buy one, click the like button to recommend it to others, or share the offer with friends. When users purchase or like a deal, it shows up in their friends' newsfeed. So there's an interesting piece I read on money.com this morning, where a guy who owns a restaurant talked about his experience with using Groupon and using Living Social, and the difference in both their business, their customer service, and the kind of customers they pulled in. And his opinion was that Living Social was vastly superior. Plus, he got a bigger cut of the revenue. Groupon takes a big slice of money.
I won't speak in specifics, but I will just say that we know some people who are not the huge fans of Groupon.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because, and again, whatever. Use it, don't use it. I don't care. It's a free capitalist society. Have at it. If you can make money using that or selling it or buying it or whatever, or if it works out for your business, that's great. But the thing about Groupon is that a lot of times, Groupon users are like, they're like radio station prize pigs. They're people, they don't care what they're getting. They don't care what they're buying. They don't care what it is they're getting half off of. It's just like your aunt and your mom bickering over the check at a restaurant. You know, that's kind of what Groupon users tend to have, a lot of those same personality traits, in that they just like the idea that they are getting something for 50% off. It doesn't matter if it's the thing they actually need, or a thing they actually use, or a service or a restaurant they ever intend to patronize again. And so if you're the restaurant, theoretically speaking, what happens is you get hit by like 2,000 customers all at once who are coming in waving a Groupon at you and expecting something for half off, which means that you're slammed. It means your regular customers can't get in there. You're selling your food at barely making a profit, or probably at a loss.
Actually, in most cases at a loss.
And also because it's like sapping your will to live, and also your supplies, and the amount of food you've got on hand gets depleted because you've got the Groupon people coming in. But through all of which would be worth it if most of the Groupon people then became repeat customers, but most of them don't, because what they do is they don't actually ever come back to that restaurant. They just follow the Groupon like Pied Piper to wherever the next restaurant is down the way, and so it ends up not benefiting the restaurant much at all, or so I'm told.
Well, and also, according to this guy whose thing I read on Money, a large majority of the people, first of all, the majority of the people who use Groupon, like you said, they're just in it for the discount. So they don't buy any additional food or beverages.
Right.
So they're just spending their, their $10 coupon, which they spent $5 for. Then a surprisingly large percentage of these people, I think he said 5 to 10%, would say things like, well, I didn't use a whole $10 worth. Can you cash me back on that? And then people sometimes would order something and then just like change their mind and like flake on it.
Yeah.
And then of course you're stuck with the loss of the food or whatever entirely. But on top of everything else, like he said, if you have something like say a $10 of services for $5, Groupon gets $2.50 of that $5. So You, the person who is providing the service, you are giving someone worth $10 and you are getting $2.50 from it. And in which most cases with like a restaurant or something, most restaurants work at like a 33% food cost, say. you know, you're losing money. You're actually losing money.
The other issue I have with it, and this is...
And then your customers are rude and they don't come back.
And then we have to get off the whole Groupon thing, because now I'm just getting... Now we're just getting hate messages. People, screw you! I love Groupon! Oh, but you're an expert in everything. I forgot. Dick. Well, the knowledge was half off, sir, so I bought all that I could get. But the other thing about Groupon, and this is not, again, none of this is Groupon's fault as such. This is just, I mean, and I'm not saying it can never work. Here's where it's a good idea. It's a good idea if it's a thing you were absolutely going to buy already at a place where you were already going to buy it. So, like, if you were going to get item X at store B anyway, and you can get a Groupon for that, or at some equivalent store that you are already going to patronize or that you don't mind, you know, spending money at, then that's fine. But what happens? It never works that way. What happens is people go to Groupon, and then they'll see, like, a half-off item for a thing that they were not intending to buy and that they would not have purchased had they not seen the Groupon.
And lawn ornaments for only $8.
And then but they're normally $16. And they go, well, yeah, jag off. And they're normally free. You know why? Because you normally don't buy them. So you've saved $8, but, you know, you would have saved $16. Because if it hadn't been for Groupon waving the thing in front of you, you never would have purchased it. And often you never would have purchased it at that store. It's on sale. I can't afford not to buy it. You can always afford not to buy it.
Yeah. How many times I had to work on my husband to get him to understand that if something is three for X amount of money, that doesn't mean you have to buy three of them.
Well, Don, the more I buy, the more I save.
But it says three for $12.
Yeah.
Yes, but you don't have to buy three.
Anywho.
Anyway.
You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. When did we become cranky people from Boca Raton?
When weren't we?
All right. So I ordered the rye. This is wheat.
Meanwhile, the text box is lighting up with guys going, screw you, I love Groupon, because then I can, like, ride my bike after my hacky sack game down to the food cart and only spend $3.
Here's the two kinds of people that are replying now, and my email is already getting into this, too. I'm getting two different kinds of replies. One is people saying, F you, I love Groupon, and the other half, I suspect, are business owners or business managers who are saying, screw the Groupon users, they don't tip well at all either. So, there you go. And this is all true. You are listening to Legion of News at Cascadia.fm. Don't forget, later on this hour, you got your entertainment news. Next hour, the Rick Emerson radio program at rickemersonshow.com. Today, we welcome new listeners, Debbie and Sherry, who I believe are, and I believe this is the deal, ironically coming in the heels of our Groupon discussion. They're not through Groupon. But I do believe that Debbie and Sherry now are, as of today, have switched from being monthly subscribers to annuals. That's what the message from Sherry says. Two more listeners switching from monthly to annual subscriptions, Debbie and Sherry. So that's, I don't know. But
yay!
See, here's the difference. Seriously, not that we don't appreciate it. Honestly, though, it's a savings of like 12 cents. I mean, which is great. You know, I mean, look, with that 12 cents, you could buy...
You buy something on Groupon.
That's exactly, or with that 12 cents, you could buy half a day of the Rick Emerson Show for someone else. Not really. It means that it goes down from $6.99 a month to $6.66 a month, which is really just, that's worth it all, just for the elan of it, just for the panache.
Because it's more evil.
So listeners, Debbie and Sherry joining us today as annual subscribers, so thank you. You can find out more at rickemersonshow.com, where your first week is free. That is rickemersonshow.com. Here's Don Taylor.
Let's do science.
All right, let's see. Here's your science on the march. Brought to you by Squires Electric at 503-252-1609. 503-252-1609 or squireselectric.com. It is squireselectric.com. Facebook.com/Squires Electric. That's how you can contact them on Facebook as well. And they're going to be adding over the next coming weeks and days. They're going to be adding the photos of some of the... It seems wrong to say greatest electrical disasters, but you know what I mean. I mean, it was great because it happened to somebody who wasn't you.
So these are things that they went on calls to and went, holy crap, and took pictures of?
Yeah, where they just, oh my God, you're not going to believe what this guy tried to do. It was, you know, like somebody was trying to run his washing machine by running wires to like his Impala or something.
So it's like whatever that website, I fixed it myself or whatever it is.
Yes,
whatever it's called.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So they're going to be posting a lot of those as well as observations and ruminations about the nature of electricity. And I believe a series of sort of... I don't want to say factoid, but, you know, just sort of things that you might or might not know. For example, we met with Joe Squires actually just the other day. We were having breakfast, and I was having this whole discussion with him where I didn't know the difference between, there was, you know, watts and amps and volts and joules and whatever. And the whole idea that I didn't know if a gigawatt was a real thing. So they're going to be posting a lot of information there. You can find out more at facebook.com/SquiresElectric or SquiresElectric.com. You can also call 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And as Squires Electric, they are the proud sponsors of this, your Science on the March.
It seems like every week we're bracing for another storm to move through Atlanta. If it seems like we've had more severe storms than normal in Atlanta, Georgia, there's a reason for that. It's a record month for tornadoes. According to the National Weather Service, tornadoes have touched down in 22 states in April. So far this month, there have been 292 confirmed tornadoes, which breaks the previous record of 267 tornadoes in April of 1974. The April average is 163 tornadoes. In the state of Georgia, there haven't been as many tornadoes as other states, but there have been more than usual. The tornado that touched down in Butts County earlier this month.
That's sad.
Claimed the lives of a father and a son.
But really, how much could they have been enjoying their lives anyway in Butts County?
But anyway, the point of this story, to get away from Georgia, because really who cares that
the
much
point
about
is
Georgia.
To talk about Butts County?
The
you lie.
Of, that was to talk, I just wanted to say Butts County.
Is that an Iggy Pop song?
But the National Weather Service does say that we have had a record number of tornadoes so far this month. 292 confirmed tornadoes so far in April.
Wow.
And typically, May has more tornadoes than April. So look forward to next month.
Is this the same thing as when they say there's like a funnel storm and or those all different things? You'll say like, well, there's a funnel cloud touching down. Is that the same thing?
I think
thing
that
as
is a tornado, yes. A funnel cloud.
It's not a
tasty treat that you have at a county fair.
It's not a you say tornado, I say tornado.
No.
Kind of a thing.
No. Or tornadoes of beef. That's a completely different thing, too.
Zam.
There's a place that you would expect to visit in Roswell, New Mexico. It brings in more than 12,000 visitors a month. But now, big plans to move the new UFO museum are not taking off.
Nah.
Visitors come from all over the world, and according to the International UFO Museum and Research Center director, it pumps about $14 million into the city's economy every year. California visitor Reese Wade said, it's a wealth of material they've gathered. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Uh-huh.
I like it that that's like the best quote they could get. It's pretty interesting. Wade and his friend both toured the museum Monday. They said they had plans for a new museum. There are new plans for a new museum that was supposed to cost $14 million. But apparently it's hit a snag.
How much space do you need to show a weather balloon to people? I mean, really?
Well, you probably got, like, alien autopsy photos.
Do you?
And,
really?
And what else? I don't know.
Why do I suspect that 95% of the floor space in that museum is taken up by the gift shop?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. And probably, like, but there's probably a lot of photos of mysterious cylindrical items kind of blurry and out of focus in the sky somewhere.
And then just occasionally just signed photos of Jonathan Frakes on the wall.
And then the probe experience interactive center.
There should totally be that. There should completely be a Captain EO thing, but with probing.
Exactly. It's something. It's
Honey,
like
I probe the audience.
Oh God! It's like a William Castle thing where you sit in a 3D thing and
the probotron,
and then the seat pokes you in the butt just when the probing scene starts in the movie.
That is multi-uses, I would think.
Why don't we own a UFO museum? Why?
I don't know. Use it when you go to see that interactive T.T. Boy film. I don't know who that is.
Anyway, the new building for the UFO Museum in Roswell is on temporary, indefinite time frame. It's on hold.
How can it be both temporary and indefinite?
I don't know. That's what the museum...
If it's indefinite, that means that the hold could stop and start at the same moment.
It means they could do it, like, right now, tomorrow. I don't know. The museum director said it's on a temporary...
And if it's indefinite, that means it might never end. So how do you know it's... It can't... Pick an adjective.
They still have the whole block that they're planning to build the museum on, and they have all the plans for it, but they just seem to be lacking something. She said the standstill is due to a paperwork error.
Uh-huh. So, it's a temporary indefinite hold.
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, they plan to reevaluate things after the big UFO festival in July.
Are you making that part up?
No.
Okay.
It turns out that a recently leaked memo speculating the scientists are getting closer to proving the existence of the so-called Higgs boson, God particle, wasn't a hoax after all. But officials at the multi-billion-dollar particle accelerator, known as the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, where the work's being done, don't want anyone breaking out their best pocket protectors to celebrate just yet. I hate everyone who writes news everywhere.
I was just thinking that.
Jamie Gillies, an official spokesman for the European lab, known as CERN, told The Telegraph this week...
The European lad?
Lab. Okay. The Large Hadron Collider lab.
I thought it was just sort of a tousle-haired youth. All right, then. Let's collide!
He said that while the internal memo making the rounds on the web is genuine, it's only one of thousands that are being churned out by scientists and nothing has been confirmed. He told The Telegraph, it's far too early to say if there's anything to it or not. This is an internal communication that highlights something interesting, but it has to go through several stages of assessment by the scientific team before it will be released as an official result by the collaborative team.
Kill me.
So, they may have found the Higgs boson.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a theoretical particle that's believed to give everything in the universe mass. It's it's a nucleus inside a nucleus inside a nucleus. It's basically the smallest bit that they've been able to... It's been theoretical so far.
I thought a neutrino was the smallest bit.
Nope, this is even smaller, and it's like, I believe, inside a neutrino, and it's essentially the building block of everything. And they think that once they find it...
I thought atoms were the building block of everything.
This is why they're accelerating things and colliding everything.
That seems like a bad idea.
They're breaking them up into tinier little pieces.
I don't want them broken up into... So they're just saying that we're all just a bunch of Russian nesting dolls.
Yes.
And that the Higgs...
Boson
thing is... That's the sort of... That's
right.
And I think that's the final.
I guess
it's the core of the universal golf ball.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So there you go. That's all the science.
Thank God. All right, and that's only loosely science. I mean, let's be honest. Brought to you by Squires Electric. Here's a thing I shouldn't have laughed at. He just says they were gonna. This is what we were talking about, Butts County.
Yeah.
Why did I laugh at this? He just says. They were going to film Dukes of Hazzard there and call it Dukes of Butts. That's not funny, and yet I laughed at it.
No.
It's
just stupid.
It's just mind-bogglingly stupid. There's no reason that I should have given that any of my laughter.
No, and yet I did too.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Dukes of Butts.
And then this one is great. This is great. I'm still getting hate texts about Groupon. This one just says, this is awesome. This one just says, I love Groupon. Smoke more crack, jerk. Hold on, I gotta type. And then I swear to God, and then he types underneath it. He types, isn't there a Groupon for the Rick Emerson show? There should be. I might actually buy it then, followed by, and then a whole separate entry where he types, ha ha ha, with multiple exclamation marks. Hold on. You are awesome.
Oh.
Excellent. You are awesome.
Smoke more crack, jerk is going to be my new...
Smoke more crack, jerk.
It's going to be my new go-to insult.
Wonderful. Yeah. That's excellent. Okay.
Fantastic. I can't wait to go home and say that to my husband
smoke
over something
crack,
tonight.
Jerk. All right. Here's Don Taylor at the news desk.
One man is facing theft charges and two more are on the run after they ripped off a Salem store. Three men walked into the Target store on Center Street in Salem around 3 p.m. Monday and immediately started stuffing $500 to $600 worth of DVDs into backpacks. Once they realized they were being watched, the men split up and left the store. Security workers saw them take off and called 911. Their car was followed for several miles into southeast Salem. Deputies say two of the men got out at Lone Crest Lane and Summit View Avenue Southeast, for those of you in Salem who know where that is, and ran into a wooded area. Deputies searched the area and found the backpacks and some clothing worn by the men. Authorities say the backpacks contained stolen property from Target and personal information that will assist deputies in arresting the two suspects. Sheriff's deputies say the driver, identified as Todd Martin, 34, went on another mile up to Pintail Avenue Southeast, where he walked away from the car. He was taken into custody. The other men are described as white and in their 20s. One is 5 feet 10 to 6 feet tall with short brown hair. The other was slightly taller with a small goatee. They have been booked into jail on a charge of first-degree theft.
And by goatee, they almost certainly mean Van Dyke. That's a thing that no one gets right. Everybody gets that. Everybody uses that term incorrectly.
Just the chin cred, straggly chin cred, is probably what.
That's
it
a goatee.
Is.
If you're dope, if you're Maynard G. Krebs, you have a goatee. If you are Ben Affleck in almost anything, you have a Van Dyke. That's where it's the all around the mouth.
Oh yes,
that's a Van Dyke. But people are just it has become a thing where we. That's just become a word that, yet another word on the pile of things that no longer mean anything that we can just use interchangeably. Smoke more crack, jerk. Wonderful. Somebody's asking, would you still hate Groupon if they made it, if there was an offer made for the Rick Emerson show? No, of course not. They would be our bosom companions at that point. There was
meaning like would they buy us out for millions?
No. I'm saying if there was a Groupon Rick Emerson.
Well, from what I've heard about,
he's just asking if I have shifting sands of alliance, and the answer is yes. That I can, yes.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Oh no, I could be no. My opinions can be purchased.
Oh.
My loyalty can be leased. I think we all know that.
Consumer confidence showed a modest improvement in April after a sharp decline in March. The conference board's Lynn Franco explains.
What is the name of this consumer?
Inflation expectations, even though they've eased, remain rather high. And this being sort of, you know, the height of the driving season, that's likely to continue for a few months. But on the positive side, job gains are giving a boost to confidence levels. So we're seeing sort of one outweigh the other.
It's like her sibilant S is encased in mothballs while she's talking.
Franco explains that a couple of major consumer concerns are doing battle.
They don't seem to be as uncertain or pessimistic as they were last month. In inflation expectations,
I'm a
which had spiked
paladin.
Last month, retreated a little bit. So that's good news as well.
Okay, that's wonderful.
I don't know what she's saying.
I'm going to be taking this out of my bag of spending, sir, if it's all the same to you.
Smoke or a crack, jerk.
Yes.
That's what I say. Billings, Montana police investigators believe a man who wandered into an Alcoholics Anonymous group on a break with a knife sticking out of his shoulder on Monday night stabbed himself. You all right over there?
Having a little coughing fit.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to gross everybody out with my phlegm.
All right.
I can if you like.
No, please don't.
You sure?
Sure. Oh.
Yeah.
Heavens.
All right.
All right. To repeat, Billings, Montana police investigators believe a man who wandered into an Alcoholics Anonymous group with a knife sticking out of his shoulder on Monday night stabbed himself. After questioning the man and talking to the doctor who treated him, investigators think the stab was self-inflicted. Police were first called after the man walked into the parking lot of an AA meeting house. Members of the group were outside taking a break. Sergeant Scott Conrad said, "They see a guy walking eastbound down an alley. They also saw a black knife handle sticking out of his chest just below the shoulder, and someone called the police." The man told police he was a transient, but wouldn't say much else. Conrad declined to release the man's name, and when he was treated at the hospital, they determined they think that he stabbed himself.
You know what there ought to be? And I swear to God, just as I was getting ready to say this, somebody typed the same thing two different ways. I was thinking there ought to be some sort of a discount coupon for porn. It'd be like a Groupon.
Oh.
And then somebody says blah 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 Groupon TSA, but I think the porn thing is better.
Yeah.
And you think there's like some sort of a buy, you know, like you buy one film get 10 or buy, you know, like one. Like one porn site membership, you get like, you know, you get like three others.
Yeah, and or you could go to a video store and buy a $20 worth of merchandise for $10.
Yeah, like or yeah, you get like a, you know, you'd have to be like a Sam's Club membership almost, you know, but it's a Groupon. We should give that idea to Jim Willig.
He'd be good at strip clubs maybe.
Yes. All right. Okay. There you go. You heard that right here, Legion of News. That's on Tuesday, April 26th at 12:41 p.m. Pacific time. Groupon.
Divers recovered the body of a man and a woman from a river in downtown Seaside, Oregon, after reports that a car drove down a boat ramp and into the water. One body was recovered about midnight, and the second one 45 minutes later. The incident was reported about 10:15 p.m. The Coast Guard sent a rescue helicopter to the river around 10:15 on report that a car had gone into the river. The helicopter ended its search not long after it was called to the area. Clatsop County Dives team went into the river to search for the car. They found the car submerged and the body is still inside. Police have not said why they think the car went into the river or if foul play may have been involved.
Okay.
I don't get to say foul play nearly enough.
No, and I don't get to make any river puns there because it seems like the nature of the story is still undetermined. It's murky, so I don't know if it's a, you know, we don't know.
As
if it's
is
a,
the river.
We don't know if it's a tragedy or if it's some sort of just a, you know, if it's a suicide or if it's a murder thing or if it's an accident or whatever, you know, it's the old people. So I'll reserve all of my river puns. You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. Next hour, the Rick Emerson, the radio program, coming up at RickEmersonShow.com. Or today we welcome listeners Debbie and Sherry, who have recently switched from being monthly subscribers to being annual subscribers at a savings of... What is that a savings of? Is it a savings, literally, is it literally like 26 cents?
Yes, I think so, yes.
Awesome. Well, you know, but over the course of a year, you know, that's like, that's you saving yourself $3. So.
That's a tasty coffee beverage.
That's half a month subscription right there. You can do that at rickemersonshow.com, where you can get your first week for free. And then, of course, after that, it's just 32 cents a day. Unless, of course, you are a yearly subscriber, in which case I think it's down to like 27 cents a day or something. But, you know, here's the thing. Let's just you and I speak together. Let's just speak honestly as men here. It's a bargain in any event. So that is at rickemersonshow.com. Next hour we have, and I apologize, the board is not current, so we have what coming up today?
We have a religious nutcase watch.
Religious nutcase watch.
And, oh, and snuff watches.
So,
two snuff watches.
Really? So double snuff watch, religious nutcase watch, top five coming up, and more. That is at rickemersonshow.com next hour.
Let's do entertainment.
Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday.
Proving there is no such thing as too soon when ratings are at stake, NBC's Law & Order LA is currently filming an episode based on the Arizona shooting that killed six people and injured 13 others, including Representative Gabrielle Giffords. According to Entertainment Weekly, the primetime drama started filming yesterday, an episode where a female state senator is gunned down in a public setting. The storyline echoes an incident last January when a gunman shot U.S. Representative Gabrielle Giffords in the head and killed a federal judge, among five other victims, at a public meet and greet outside a suburban Tucson grocery store. The Law & Order series is known for its ripped-from-the-headlines approach to plot lines, and previous incarnations of the franchise have included episodes that echo a number of high-profile and controversial news stories. The Arizona Republic reports that NBC is likely to save the episode for the season finale.
Did you see that they canceled Paul Reiser's show after only two episodes?
It really wasn't good.
It had here's the thing you don't want to go on. It had the lowest ratings in network television history, apparently. And I don't know how that could possibly be true. But I read that in more than one, unless that's just a thing that somebody from like NBC or whoever planted just to sort of justify the canceling. But I read that in more than one newspaper. They said it actually had the lowest ratings in network history.
Yeah, it was just ill-conceived and not very good. And it's sort of a sad thing because his supporting cast of actors are all people that are really terrific, including the one guy who played the teacher on Eastbound and Down.
Yeah,
and he was one of his pals.
Is that one of the Kids in the Hall guys?
No, he was.
I always think he is.
He was with. I'm trying to think.
But he's part of a comedy troupe
of
some kind.
He was with one of those groups like The State.
The State or Whitest Kids You Know, or one of those things. Okay.
In news that will likely make MFA candidates and their fellow would-be published writers cry.
MFA candidates.
Yeah, you know, Masters of Fine Arts, people who...
Sure. No, I go to their meetings all the time.
They're people who go to college to get degrees in English and then hook up with professors and network and then get their books published, and then they can be like the new Bret Easton Ellis or something. Anyway, those people, according to the story, are going to be sad because Levi Johnston has signed a book deal.
Okay.
Johnson, the 20-year-old who fathered a baby boy with Palin's oldest daughter, Bristol, and posed naked for Playgirl, will write a tell-all about Sarah Palin and her headline-grabbing Alaska family. In a statement, he says he's writing the book, quote, for me, for my boy Trip, and for the country.
You know, I thought that was a thing that would have been done so long ago. I mean, it amazes me that we're hearing this story now. It seems like the expiration date on that has already gone by.
So, Eddie...
Waited, though, because... I guess there was two windows of time to do that. There was one right after the scandal happened, like immediately after the scandal happened, where you just get that woman who wrote Sarah Palin's book for her, who like locked herself in a hotel room and wrote it in like 4 days or something. Or you wait until the 2012 election is gearing up. You don't do it in the middle ground. I guess that's why. I guess it's not late. I guess it's on time if you're doing it for the next election cycle.
And also, he's gone back and forth being in her good graces of like saying crappy things about her and then getting the beat down from her people and then going back publicly and saying he's sorry and he really loves the family and Sarah Palin's awesome.
He may have gone back and forth, but I think he may have finally figured out that she doesn't go back. And I think once you're off the page with her, I think you're probably, once you are once you're in a Siberia with her, I think you stay there.
So are you ready to hear the title?
Yes. Wait, hold. So this is, what's his name? Levi? Is it Johnson or Johnston?
Johnston.
Levi Johnston, and he is the impregnator of Bristol.
Right. And the book is currently slated for fall.
And he's a hockey guy, too, is that thing? He's a hockey player?
Yeah, but that doesn't...
It's not in the title. Is the title a pun?
Kind of, yeah. It's
not like out of my Levi's.
I'll say it plays on Sarah Palin's famous proclivity for hunting.
No, I have nothing.
The book's title is Deer in the Headlights,
Oh, God.
: My Life in Sarah Palin's Crosshairs.
No. Oh, it's awful and sort of wonderful at the same time.
Johnson said in a statement released by his publisher, I want to tell the truth about my close relationship with the Palins, my sense of Sarah, and my perplexing fall from grace.
Perplexing. It's a mystery.
Yeah.
It couldn't have been when you put your penis inside her daughter.
Yeah.
I mean, that might have had something to do with it.
How I feel and what I've learned, he
said.
Okay.
All right.
That book's going to be awesome.
It's a perplexing fall from grace, Don.
I don't know why she don't like me. Ron Livingston of Office Space has signed on to the HBO movie Game Change, which centers on the 2008 presidential campaign.
Awesome.
The picture features Ed Harris as John McCain and Julianne Moore as Sarah Palin. Livingston stars as senior advisor Mark Wallace. Kevin James and his wife Stefania welcomed a baby boy named Cannon Valentine James.
Cannon as in C-A-N-N or C-A-N?
Well, Cannon as in C-A-N-N, only with a K.
Oh, God. All right.
The couple, who've been married since 2004, are also parents of two daughters, 5-year-old Sienna Marie and 3-year-old Shay. Cannon Valentine James.
Whole family of strippers.
Yes. Also, United States of Terror actress Toni Collette and her husband Dave Gallifasi welcomed their baby boy into the world. His name is Arlo Robert Gallifasi.
Now, that's actually not so bad. I mean, the last name is a bit of a mouthful, but Arlo Robert is pretty. That's a kind of a
clever. Yeah.
And plus, Toni Collette gets a pass on almost anything for me just because she's awesome.
Farrah Franklin, a former member of Destiny's Child, was arrested last weekend in Culver City for disorderly conduct. The 29-year-old, who was fired from Destiny's Child after just 5 months, was released Saturday on $100 bail. In an interview with TMZ, she gave her account of the incident. Quote, unfortunately, I am the latest victim on what seems to be a growing list of those who are racially profiled and mistreated by Culver City police. I was manhandled by the arresting officers. She also said she was not arrested. She was detained. On her Twitter page, Franklin tweeted, she will file a lawsuit against the police, adding, you can't keep a good girl down.
I mean, I know that her, probably whether it's implicit or explicit, what she's sort of saying there is that, you know, don't you know who I am? I'm a former member of Destiny's Child. But like half the Western Hemisphere is a former member of Destiny's Child. It's like being a former member of Yes.
Come on, I'm Pete Best.
Yeah.
No,
really?
Nobody cares.
No.
Simon Cowell told Deadline that he wants his former American Idol partner Paula Abdul and British singer Cheryl Cole to join him on his upcoming Fox show, The X Factor. He said, I've always wanted Paula. I've never found anyone better than her. I think there's a good chance it will be her. We've agreed we would meet with as many people as possible, and now that we're reaching the deadline, we've got to make the decision soon, but I think she's got a really good shot.
It is. It's sort of weird, actually. I was reading this interview with Simon Cowell where he was talking about Paula Abdul and then Cheryl Cole, who is, I guess, kind of a big deal in Britain. Apparently, she's a kind of a tabloid baby over there. But the thing about Paula Abdul is that is either the worst or the best idea imaginable, that it would be Simon Cowell and Paula Abdul, because on the one hand, because they're both sort of controversy magnets, because he's an a-hole, and she's obvious, you know, she seems crazy or drunk or high. And also, so it's two things in one. It's that individually each of them has their own sort of controversy factor going on, but it's also that he is then successfully recreating like 2/3 of the classic era American Idol judging panel.
And their interplay was terrific. Their relationship was very, very watchable.
And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but really Paula Abdul's comments actually had some sort of substance to them. I mean, I'm not saying that she's a genius, but at least she seemed to have given it some thought, and she sort of, even if you disagreed with her, she sort of seemed to, in her head, she sort of seemed to know what she was talking about. Like it came from a place of her own, like, internal logic, at least. As opposed to later iterations of the show, which I didn't watch a lot, but later iterations where it just seemed like they were just sort of saying whatever it was that would either stir up the audience or create some sort of a scandal or just to be contrary or to
and
whatever.
And then Randy Jackson, who's just a big useless load.
Yeah, that really is true.
You're pitchy, dog.
Is he still on the...
Yes!
Is he still on... So it's him and Steven Tyler and what's her name?
Yes.
Yeah, no.
I don't know. No. I haven't watched it this season, like, at all since we got through the embarrassing audition portion. So.
You know, I mean, I imagine they just handed Simon Cowell just, like, carte blanche. They must have just told him, like, whatever you want. Like, you can, you know. Because they're trying... Because there's
all of his shows have made a gazillion dollars.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. He's just a money printing machine, because there's American Idol, there's The X Factor, both versions. But then they're going up against that show, The Voice, which is the one that has, it's got Blake Shelton or whatever his name is.
But Pete does both Britain's Got Talent and America's Got Talent. Those are both his.
While getting vitamin injections.
Yeah. So, in case you're unaware, I'm very, very white. And that will be apparent in a moment when I...
Is that important to understand the story?
It is when I read that rappers Eminem and Royce da 5 foot 9 inch are recording an EP that will be released in June 14th. Apparently there's a rapper named Royce da... It may be Royce da 5'9", but his name is Royce da 5 foot 9 inch, the marks.
Right. Would you like me to go to our panel of negritude and try to...
Sure, because I don't know.
I need to, we have a, like a, you know, like there's a bat signal. We need to have, like, a black signal.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, but it would be... Hold on, let me see if I can find it. This is something we can do on both shows. We won't make this just a Legion of News. We'll make this a Rick Emerson Show thing, too. Hold on, let me... You go ahead. I'm going to try to find
send,
our...
Send out the black signal.
I'm going to find our black signal.
Eminem said, Royce and I started hanging out again, and inevitably that led us back into the studio. At first, we were just seeing where it went without any real goal in mind, but the songs started to come together crazy, so here we are. Yeah. And finally, director Peter Jackson has announced that British actor Rob Kaczynski of EastEnders has left The Hobbit. He said, Rob has been terrific to work with, and his enthusiasm and infectious sense of humor will be missed by all of us. I should say that Rob's departure will not affect ongoing filming of The Hobbit, nor will it impact work done to date, as we had yet to film much of Feely's storyline.
Smoke more crack, jerk. All right, I'm sorry. Here's our black signal. Let me just... All right, there you go.
So that indicates we need help figuring out how to...
What was the? I'm sorry. What was the actual question? Hold on a second. Let me just.
How do you pronounce the guy's name? Royce da 5 foot 9 inch.
So you're looking for pronunciation on hip hop artist Royce da 5'9".
Yes.
Okay. There we go.
And if it's just Royce da 5'9", why is it 5 foot 9 inches? And is that like how tall he is?
All right. Excellent. There we go.
Okay. That's all the entertainment.
Oh. Awesome. All right. Thank you for listening to Legion of News. It is Cascadia.fm. That's where you're hearing the program right now. You can also get it via iTunes. There's a direct MP3 download later on today from here, Cascadia.fm or LegionofNews.com. Don't forget the Rick Emerson Show next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. Today we have Double Snuff Watch coming up, also Religious Nutcase Watch, and the Top 5. And so, plus, we'll get to this thing that I'd pulled yesterday. And we didn't get a chance to get to it. And I want to bring it out at the end of yesterday's show because it would have gotten us so totally off track. And we were trying to sort of stay on point, as they say. But I was, and you know what I'm talking about. It was that the thing we were talking about with Greg and Sarah this morning. So
yeah.
Anyway, so a whole bunch of stuff coming up next hour at RickEmersonShow.com. You can find out more at that self-same website, RickEmersonShow.com, where you can listen for the low cost of just 32 cents a day.
You know, you could play just one of those just to tease it.
I'm not sure if I have it open. Let me see if I can find it. I might do it here at the end of the show.
Okay.
All right.
Let's see. I'll read this while you're looking for that. Police are trying to figure out what happened after a gruesome incident in Plymouth, Massachusetts, late Monday night. Officers were called to a home on Farmhurst Road around 10 p.m. for a well-being check. I'm not sure what a police well-being check is.
Is everything okay? Are you content with your place in life?
Yeah,
do you need a back rub?
I guess that's it. When they arrived, they saw a man sitting in the family room. The man then picked up a power circular saw and cut off one of his legs.
Wow.
He was rushed to the hospital, where he died. As officers searched the home, they also found a dead woman in a bed and two dead dogs. It's not clear yet how they died. The woman had been dead for several days, according to investigators. The owner of the home said, told a local news station, the couple was from Vermont and were behind on their rent. It's not known if that was a factor in the murder-suicide.
Okay. By the way, this is the thing we were referring to. Everybody. So I have to thank Greg Nibbler for digging this up. This is really one of the best things I've ever seen or experienced in my life.
It is like
somebody just went into John Geronimo's head and just found the greatest conglomeration of noises and sounds ever.
It's like audio Christmas.
The official, the Chris Hansen soundboard.
Would you let me lick you everywhere?
That's wonderful. And there's I swear to God, there's 79 different cuts on this.
Oh.
So we'll have more of that.
Do you think rape is funny?
Okay, so there you go. We'll have more of that next hour.
Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour said Monday he won't run for president in 2012, an announcement that leaves an already murky Republican field that much murkier. Barbour, seen by many political observers as a potential powerhouse given his establishment ties and his fundraising prowess, said he ultimately decided to bow out because he wasn't ready for the all-consuming effort it would take to make it to the White House. His decision to remove his hat from the ring is unlikely to make a noticeable dent in the early primary polls because Barber was mostly unknown to Americans beyond the Gulf area. Still, the Mississippi Republican had been testing the waters in New Hampshire, and most observers expected him to be able to make a splash if he opted to enter the race.
By the way, as we prepare to bring the curtain down on this, having put up the black signal earlier, so now we've got an answer on this. Apparently, that hip-hopper is just referred to as 5'9", or Royce the 5'9". You don't pronounce the feet or inches, because, as it's noted, he said, you can't imagine, like, the hype man, you know, who's sort of, you know, the master of ceremonies, sort of, I guess he's not the master of ceremonies by definition, but you can't imagine him going on stage and saying, and now, Royce the 5'9". It would be a mouthful. So you're just going down to Royce the 5'9".
Royce, duh, 5'9".
Duh, the 5'9". I suppose, depending on how linguistically
I still can't bring myself to say 50 Cent.
On that note, I've been listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. At the news desk, Don Taylor, advanced technology and magic provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, executive producer Bruce Agle, chief of staff Cheryl Kanakoa. We'll see you again tomorrow at noon. Thank you for listening, brothers and sisters. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com.